Hey, are you ready to create reliable revenue and master every detail of your hosting business? If you want to avoid compromising all those hospitality details that you love, but still approach hosting like the business it is, we created a free class just for you. Set aside 45 minutes. We promise it's worth your time. And go watch our value-packed workshop where we go over how to master every detail of your hosting business with our foolproof hosting business mastery method that will help you avoid hosting burnout. Growing, where simply starting your hosting business isn't always easy, but it can be simple. We'll help you avoid the three big mistakes that are keeping you stuck, tired, and overwhelmed as a short-term rental host so that you have a powerful revenue stream you can actually rely on.
If you're ready to take your hosting to the next level, head on over to thanksforvisiting.me/workshop to watch this on-demand training. Or send us a DM on Instagram with the word workshop. We'll send you the link and most likely a video DM. We love those. Again, that's thanksforvisiting.me/workshop.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to another great week. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. All right, let's kick off the show like we do each and every week with sharing one of your amazing spaces, listeners. If you use our hashtag #STRShareSunday on Instagram, we will find you, and then we will share you. We will share you not only on Instagram, but also right here on the podcast like we're going to do now. So, Nettie, who are we sharing?
We are sharing this week at Stay in Croset. We're just going to go with that pronunciation. It's Stay in, C-R-O-S-E-T, and that is in Virginia. And I just want to say something that's amazing about this. First of all, they have four properties. Two are lofts and they have a cottage. So they have a mix of places that you can stay. But here is something that stuck out to me immediately. When you go, they have a direct booking site, which nice. I love.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. They have, you can Facebook Messenger them off of their site.
Nice.
Not seen that yet.
That's good.
So kudos to Stay in Croset.
It just makes it easy. And listeners, if you're wondering like, well, if I don't use an OTA like Airbnb, like how do I get in touch with my guests? I'll have all this tech. I mean, not necessarily. So if you got a Facebook account, I mean, you would need to connect your direct booking site to your Facebook, but that's not too hard. So that's smart.
So I love that. And gotta love their tagline. Never underestimate the joy of relaxation. I'm just going to go with that.
Oh, okay.
And I love that they're putting that at the very front when you go to their site. But they do have a direct booking site. So please go visit it. Check them out. It's stayincroset.com or at stayincroset on the Instagrams. And then maybe send them a Facebook Messenger and say, hey, I love the site. And then go stay with them if you're in Virginia.
Yeah.
All right, Sarah. Let's get on to this show. Well, it's near and dear to my heart.
Yeah, actually, Nettie, I'm going to throw the mic right back your way because this is, again, near. So, Nettie, I need you to tell this whole story too, like how this is like take two of interviewing today's guest, but not with me.
Yeah. Okay. This is actually great. Listeners, if you don't know, yes, Nettie is my nickname, but I have another nickname. It's called a networker. And our guest today, I did not know I was a networking at the time when I met him, but I actually have interviewed this gentleman on a show previously when I was going to have a podcast by myself about hosting. And I interviewed Larry the same day that I interviewed Sarah. And that was the day that I decided that I should probably have a co-host because I was having so much fun interviewing my friends and then Sarah, who I just met. But that's the day that this episode, I recorded an episode with our guest today and it never came out because Sarah and I ended up partnering up. But we're going to bring it to you now, like 2+, 3+, I don't even know how many years later.
I would say 2+, maybe almost 3, yeah.
All right. So, but today we have one of my dear friends, Larry Nettles, on. And the story goes like this. I actually met Larry years and years ago at a bar when people could go to those. But we just became quick friends and would hang out. And I don't even know how it went. Fast forward years and years and years. Larry knew I was in the short-term rental market and he was looking for a property in a lovely location, St. Croix, U.S. Virgin Islands. And he said, hey, Annette, you know about short-term rentals. Would you mind traveling along with me to check out some properties? I'm like, heck yeah. So that's probably been my number one short-term rental trip, like consulting thus far. So let's get over to Larry. Larry Nettles is with us. He has a property. He's a short-term rental owner in St. Croix.
Hello.
All right, Larry. Our listeners are going to love this episode because Larry has one property, bought it as an investment, and had absolutely no experience, right?
Zero.
Not to like, but I want our listeners to understand that this was something that you did not have any experience with and you are making it happen because when did you buy the property?
April of 2017.
All right. So take our listeners back into your mindset on wanting to get a short-term rental property and wanting to buy in St. Croix and just like explain that of like what was the light bulb
where this came from?
Yeah. What was this idea from?
Not to start off the thing on a down note. My parents passed away in 2010 unexpectedly. So I took some personal time off and went to Puerto Rico for a couple weeks and stayed at a beach house and just got to start to thinking like this is a great thing to have. I talked with the owner and she was kind of telling me how she made it work. And I was lucky enough to have gotten some inheritance money. So I was just looking for an investment and also a place that I could go, you know, just spend some time by the beach. So I found St. Croix, so cheesy, but it was off HDTV on Caribbean House Hunters.
All right.
You're like, that's where I want to be right there. And, okay.
And I had been looking in other places and, you know, on TV, the price was great and it looked great. So me and Eddie went down and scouted it out and fell in love with the island.
Yeah.
Wait, so you saw on HGTV, which I love. We all do that.
Right. I think most people don't admit that almost all of
Come on, everybody. Let's be clear here. But you saw on HGTV and then you grabbed Eddie and you went to St. Croix. Did you make some phone calls? Were you online researching?
I mean, I think I had gone on Zillow and kind of looked at some stuff just to kind of get an idea of what the real estate prices were down there and what to expect. And I reached out to a realtor down in St. Croix. That was actually on the episode. And they had just, through email, they had sent me some stuff and we had talked and we just arranged for me to come down and look at, you know, 4 or 5 properties and try to just see, you know, where on the island I wanted to make an offer and house versus condo and just kind of all that first wave kind of stuff.
I have some real estate questions like you said over the camera. Okay, so you call the realtor and you obviously want to find out how much it costs to purchase a property. Did you also ask in that same call what you could make by renting it out to others or was that not a concern? You just wanted to afford it for yourself.
I don't think we had talked about the rental opportunity at that time. I wanted to be able to rent it. So I know like some certain communities won't let you or have restrictions on what you could rent.
Right.
So, I mean, that was just one of the filters that I wanted was being able to.
Okay. You know, to be able to rent, period.
Right.
It didn't really matter if you made X amount of dollars. You just wanted the ability to do so.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of went in the mindset, I just wanted to have my costs covered.
Yeah.
And just like have a free vacation home pretty much. And, just went from there.
Yeah. I hope you don't, I'm just going to let listeners know, because I know Larry very well. Listeners, Larry did at that time did not even own a primary residence.
No.
So this was like
this is my first venture into real estate.
Wow.
No, so I love that part of the story of this was his very first real estate endeavor. Was like, yeah, let's go to St. Croix. But I did not know that you just called the... I knew they were the real estate firm that did the HGTV show, but I didn't know that that's how you connected with them. And I love that, listeners. Like, take action. He saw it was on TV. Yeah. Like, they want people to find them.
The realtors did it for a reason.
Right. Yeah. They want the business. Yeah.
No, it's so good.
Okay. So then when you called the realtor, did you have a price point or did you ask them, hey, what's...
Yeah, I mean, I think the first call, I had some unrealistic expectations because you hear like a Caribbean island and you kind of think that maybe, at least I did, that your dollar would go a lot farther.
Okay.
I mean, and it did, but like my first call is like, you know, I want a house with a pool and a maid's quarters, and they're like, "Well, you got to bring your budget up." So that was the first reality check, and then you know, there was just I kind of told them what I was comfortable with, and then they just show me stuff that
all right
that kind of fit that profile.
And then it was a one and done. You both went down
for
a day trip. Did you guys?
No, we
four
went,
or five.
Yeah, we went down for. We made a vacation out of it, of course. But I know that there was one full day of showings. Like they had them scheduled and went back to back. And they did an excellent job because we really did see a lot of the island and a lot of different places that the budget that we were working with really did get to see a mix of what that could afford. And, I will say that while we were looking, making sure the guests, the future guests, not just what Larry was looking for, because there were some places that were great, but we were like, if you want guests coming here to book, they were out of the way.
Yep.
They weren't really up to speed. They didn't have a community pool. Like there was some stuff that we were like, this is great, but it's not good for travelers. Mm-hmm. So I think that was honestly one of our number one things when we were going through
places.
You were
thinking like a guest already.
We were totally thinking like a guest.
That's why Nettie was along.
I was like, no, this like... I remember there were some, I was like, if you were going to move here full time, you totally wouldn't have bought where you bought. There were other places that would have been much more, appealing to a long-term someone living there. But no, that was at the forefront of what we were looking at.
That's interesting. So then Larry, had you not brought someone down who had experienced the short-term rental world, would you have bought a different property, do you think?
Would I bought?
A different one?
A different? I think I kind of fell in love with the place that I'm at.
Okay.
But it was just reassuring to have somebody there to kind of be like, yep, this is right.
Yeah.
You know, just to have that reassurance.
That, yeah. And the place that he did buy, like it was by far no brainer. If someone was going to travel, they would want to
get
visit.
Excited about that.
Yes, exactly. Because we were being able to walk to the pool. Right. There's a golf course.
Yeah.
But they could still go to the beach and it wasn't too far from the airport. It was just like firing on all cylinders. And plus, I think when they built that there, that was their... The point of that property was they knew they were going to have guests. And that was the thing too, to make sure you could always have guests coming, that it wasn't going to get shut down or the neighborhood would, that was most people in that community.
It's a good mix of, snowbirds. And then there's probably about 20% of the people that are there full time. And then there's probably about 25% of the people that are like me, in and out, do rentals.
Well, let's talk about some of the things after we go. We check it out, kind of land on the spot where you want to be. However, those properties aren't available.
Right.
So let's get into actually purchasing via FedEx and and the email.
God bless the internet.
Yeah. let's talk our listeners through that. So at that trip, you pretty much decided, yes, this is the investment I want to make.
Yeah.
And then let's talk about timelines and what happened when you got back. And I know this is years ago.
Yeah, I've tried to piece it all together. I know there were another couple trips after we went where I'd actually made offers that didn't go through.
Okay.
But it was only at that condo complex. So, I knew I was going to buy there. So, probably, I don't know, 6 months had gone by since my last trip and I'd almost kind of given up on it. Like, just didn't think it was going to happen. And I was on Zillow and a property at the complex came up and the price was excellent. And I made an offer sight unseen and started the process of buying it without actually ever going to see it.
Nice. Yes. May we ask, why did the other deals fall through? Was it you couldn't meet on price, or can you let us know?
Yeah, I think it was a mixture of just getting either outbid or waiting too long to pull the trigger. Mm. And somebody had already, they'd already accepted somebody's offer.
Okay. I think that's important for everyone to know too, because everyone thinks that, you know, oh, I'm going to find this place and then I'm going to make it an offer and it's going to kind of just like go step by step. But like you just said, it could have 6 months in between really wanting to make it happen and being able to make it happen. Sight unseen, were you nervous about that? Or are you just like, you know what, I've been waiting for a place. I know they're not going to come up and I'm just going to go with it.
I mean, I think, I was extremely nervous. I was lucky that most of the units there are pretty much the same as far as original construction and architecture. So I knew what to expect. Mm-hmm. It was more just like being able to physically see the space and making sure, you know, there wasn't any damage or anything like that. But I had a great realtor team that was very patient with me and answered all my questions. And they would do walkthroughs with their iPhone so mm-hmm. I could see everything.
Oh, great.
And they would send pictures. And they're because of just the, you know, it's a Caribbean island, so it wasn't their first time
helping
somebody that wasn't on island make a purchase.
Yeah.
So they're versed in it and they're very patient.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's great. And then were there any hiccups? Were there any difficulties purchasing in St. Croix? Like, are there different rules, regulations, anything different with getting the loan?
It's a U.S. territory. So the mortgage and the real estate laws are pretty much the same, which was a big plus for me because,
yes.
you know, I've heard some horror stories of buying in foreign countries and losing deposits and stuff. The hardest part was just the logistics of it all. You know, finding a mortgage company or mortgage lender, inspections, getting a lawyer down there to do the closing. Mm-hmm. But again, the real estate company, you know, held my hand through all of it. And they had people that they worked with they connected me with. So it was a lot easier than it could have been.
Yeah. Were you, because I can't remember this, were you crunching the numbers before? I think you and I actually did for while we were down there. Did you have all the numbers worked out? Because I feel like we did, like, okay, I've got to have 1 week. We could look online and see what those other condos were going for.
Yeah.
So we were kind of crunching the numbers, like, okay, if we get 15 weeks booked for the year, then expenses are paid. Because Larry's goal was just to have like, an investment.
To break even
and have a place where your vacations were taken care of.
Yep.
So I think
I definitely sat down and did the numbers that I had. There's always some curveballs that I wasn't expecting or didn't think of, like hurricane insurance and some of the, you know, the internet and cable stuff down there is a little bit more pricey, and water and electricity is very pricey, and that's kind of hard to gauge on a monthly basis how much it's going to be. But, you know, I did the rough numbers.
Right. And did you already know, obviously, you knew you were not going to be able to, you know, clean the place or turn over the place and host it. How did deciding who was going to help manage the property, what did that look like? I can't remember that part.
I'd gotten a list of people from the realtor that were in the management business. And the good thing about St. Croix, it's a very, I like to call it, it's like a mid-sized high school. Everybody knows everybody.
Okay.
Mid-sized high school. That's good.
No, that's a good analogy.
Your reputation is, you know, is what you have down there. So if you can ask pretty much anybody and they'll be very honest with you about, you know, this person's good, this person's not. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just kind of, you know, networking, talking. There's a very social gas station there called Ziggy's.
Okay.
Where
it's a bar too, right?
It's a bar, okay. Gas station,
oh,
restaurant.
Oh my gosh.
Local meeting place.
Right.
And it's like the classified ads. You can just go there and tell people what you're looking for and they'll point you in the right direction.
Oh my gosh.
An electrician, a plumber, cleaners, anything you need.
Okay. This was another thing that was interesting. And I know our listeners will be inquiring minds. Furnishing it, getting the linens, getting the towels, getting it actually up to speed as a short-term rental under you mm-hmm. versus who was there before. What did that look like? Was that an additional trip? Was that multiple trips?
It was multiple trips. Also, Amazon Prime is great.
yeah.
For, you know, for furnishing the place wasn't that difficult. There are several furniture stores on Island. There's an Ashley Furniture there.
Okay.
There's a Home Depot there. So there are some national brands where you can kind of look online and order stuff to the store.
Okay.
And then with the linens and towels and kind of the odds and ends stuff, Amazon Prime.
Okay. Could have you purchased any furniture and that type from the previous owner? Or was that even part of the offer?
Yeah. Well, it is very typical down there because it's an island. The furniture and everything in it stays.
Okay.
You actually have to negotiate them to remove it. Mm. So when I moved into the condo, the previous owner, I think she just packed her clothes. And I mean, there was literally still cat food in the closet.
Okay.
So, I mean, that was one thing that you have to, getting someone to like take out the stuff you didn't want.
Yeah.
Was an added
expense.
You had to
go to another trip to Ziggy's to find somebody. Yep. Okay.
A removal company. Got it.
And that's totally cool. Like that's just what happens.
Yeah. I think that's from what I can tell, that's pretty common. It's just because it's cost, unless you're moving to another place on the island. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, I feel like everyone totally understands like, right, you're going to move here. You're going to vacation here. Then you're going to rent it when you're not here. Like,
right.
We know why you're coming and it's pretty typical.
Did she have any regulars that had stayed there that like came to the same condo every year? And like, do you get any requests like that?
I mean, the previous owner, her husband, it was their residence, primary residence.
Okay.
Well, maybe not primary, but they were definitely snowbirds.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But they had a network of friends that would have always vacationed there. So I did have some people that were like, oh, we knew the previous owner. We'd love to come stay. Mm-hmm. So I did get, some business that way.
But when you signed, you were at zero. Like you had you had never hosted on Airbnb either.
Wait, maybe I missed this too. Did you, when you bought it, did you get connected right away with the management company or are you like, I'm going to do this on my own?
I knew I couldn't do it on my own. After I'm pretty sure it was the same trip when I closed. I just basically held a open interview process with a list of people they had given me.
Oh.
So I just kind of interviewed or met with like three or four people and then just went from there.
Got it. Okay.
Listeners, by the way, Larry does live in Columbus, Ohio also, just to let you know where his primary residence is, not in St. Croix.
Correct.
Can you give us what has been the most interesting part of hosting from so far away? Easy or harder?
I think the hardest part is just accepting that you have to give up a lot of control. I'd say the most important thing is building a team of people that you can trust.
Mm-hmm.
Handymen, neighbors. Neighbors are so important. I think they could be a huge asset or a huge liability, especially
mm-hmm.
if you rent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And just kind of allow, hoping for the best, but putting the pieces in place where if something goes wrong or there's concern that I can have somebody there within, a couple hours.
Right. And how much of that does that fall onto the management team that you hired?
Their primary, that's their responsibility. And it's 98% of the stuff that happens, I don't even hear about it.
Yeah.
Which is great. But it's just, perfect example, a couple months ago, the whole, that side of the island lost power while I had guests in there.
Sure.
And I guess there were some younger people who were a little freaked out about, being in a foreign place with no electricity. So my neighbors who are great went over, gave them some, showed them where the flashlights were, kind of like held their hand through it, told them, it happens all the time.
Okay, yeah. Great. Right.
So, yeah.
Great. And then your neighbors kind of let you know like, hey, is that how you found out about it?
Okay. Yeah.
So do you have any direct connection with your guests or is that all go through your management company?
I mean, I encourage that 99% of my rentals are through Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
So, the app lets us communicate.
Yeah.
And I try to take on all of the communication prior to them getting on island.
Oh, okay.
So I'm the first person they talk with and interact with. And I ask them, direct any questions to me. Once they get to St. Croix, my manager, Mindy, kind of just takes the reins from there.
And is Mindy a co-host on your Airbnb account?
Yes. She can respond. She can.
And does Mindy have other short-term rentals that she manages?
She does. She actually works through Coldwell Banker.
Okay.
And they manage a lot of properties.
A lot of properties. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. And what made you choose Mindy over the other managers that you interviewed?
She had a lot of experience. She was from Ohio, which...
Oh, really? Okay. I didn't know that. Cool. Okay.
And I just like the fact that it was... She also came with a name that people recognize. I mean, people know...
She's welcome at Ziggy's.
She's a regular Ziggy's.
Got it.
And, you know, when somebody's calling from, you know, wherever, USA, they recognize Coldwell Banker. So it's just like a level of...
Trust.
Comfort.
Comfort. Mm-hmm. You know, they know they're going down there and dealing with the professional.
Sure.
For sure. Now that's awesome.
Okay. And then I have so many questions. Did Mindy coordinate the cleaning team? Does she oversee to make sure the cleaners are doing their, like, does she?
Yeah.
She's
my eyes and ears and everything on the island.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
They have their own cleaners that they use. She has, you know, a network of maintenance people and electricians and plumbers. And, and then on top of that, I have found a personal friend down there who also is a maintenance guy that I can, if something needs to be handled within the, you know, 10 minutes and it's a Sunday afternoon and
he'll
you
go
know,
over and
yeah, yeah.
And then you don't have to get, you can get specific or you can just be as elusive as you want. But, is Mindy a commission? Is she a flat fee? Is it?
It's a commission. We came, I think I was the first client that she had that, uses the booking sites. Mm-hmm. But most of their other properties, they just list through Coldwell Banker.
Okay.
So we kind of negotiated a little bit of a different fee structure. If it books through Coldwell Banker, then it's her flat rate of 20%.
Okay.
If I book it, it's 10%.
Oh, okay. That's great. Nice work, Lara. Yeah. That's all good. Right. No, I mean, you are doing a lot of work. I'm sure you're getting... So a lot of people on St. Croix, they don't even use Airbnb or Vrbo. They just go...
No, I mean, yeah, it's... I'm not talking bad about St. Croix. I love it. But they are 15 to 20 years behind.
Sure.
You know, when you go to Kmart, the rewritable CDs are still locked behind glass.
The fact that you said Kmart, they've got a Kmart.
There's two Kmarts.
So you took us back 15, 20 years exactly. Just by... Do they have the ICs though? Do they still have the ICs?
No, but
remember
you
can get the ICs.
They have a Little Caesars.
Okay, there you go.
Wait, I do love a Little Caesars.
And how often are you enjoying the property?
I mean, obviously, COVID put a monkey wrench in travel plans, but I try to get down there twice a year.
And we talked about this before the show, listeners, but, you know, Larry makes some sacrifices because it is an investment for him that he doesn't go during peak season because those are the times that he can make the most money. So
right.
You probably really haven't been down during a peak season.
Me and my girlfriend went down for Easter this year.
Okay.
And I've been down for the week between Christmas and January and New Year's Day.
Okay, before. That's got to be peak, but you're like, it's
it
worth
is.
It.
Yeah, it was, but it's like, you know, it was Christmas. So I wanted to do something different. So.
Right.
Does your management team have any restrictions on when you can go and how often you can go?
No.
In your agreement?
No, the condo association and the management company, it's all up to me. You know, how much or how little
that
I want to rent out.
Yeah,
that is
great. And we do a mixture of short term, and there's been some people that have stayed for like three or four months.
Oh, that's great. You know, do you love when that happens, or do you take kind of a hit on the pricing?
It's kind of the old adage, you know, a bird in the hand's worth two in the bush. I mean, mm-hmm. I could piece together a better month, you know, by doing weeks. But it's just peace of mind knowing that the bills are paid that much.
Yeah. And you can kind of just coast for 3 or 4 months, especially like maintenance and turnover.
Yeah,
you don't have that
worry in the back of your mind that something's going wrong. I mean, if somebody's been there for 3 weeks, it's usually they know.
Smooth sailing.
Yeah.
No, for sure.
Okay. So you've had this now for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
For some time.
Four years.
Okay. So where are you at with it? Is it the way it's going, it's great. And this is what you plan on doing for a while. So you have some
place to
go.
Everything's great. I mean, it's definitely paying for itself, which was the goal, I think. And I haven't sat down and done the numbers from 2020 yet. But good or bad, last year was my best year.
Really?
Yeah.
How did that happen? I didn't actually want to talk about last year because I wanted to.
No, I was shocked. It was a weird mix of. The island actually like it shut down to new visitors, I think in like May or June.
Okay.
But if there's a new oil refinery that just opened on the island, and some of their employees just wanted to have like a staycation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I had a lot of people who were already on the island that just wanted to go to a place that had, you know, a pool and you know, quick access to a beach and restaurants. So like just, you know, so I got a lot of business just from people on St. Croix.
And that's, listeners, I want you to take that in. So having all those great amenities, all those things that draw, because I just know so many times people are like, well, you know, if I can just, I exist in this area and I don't need to have all the extras, the pool, the proximity to the beach and the golf. I mean, all those different quote unquote amenities and like highlights is what helped you make money.
Absolutely.
Last year.
Absolutely. And then and then when it did open back up, you know, it's people wanted to travel, but also didn't really want to stay at a hotel. They weren't comfortable, you know, staying with a bunch of people. And it's a private home that has hotel amenities. You know, there's two restaurants there. Mm-hmm. There's a community pool. It's not, there's a 9-hole golf course there.
And I assume you probably pay a little bit more upfront to get to secure the property than you did another property that didn't have all those things close by?
Surprisingly, no. It was actually probably one of the best priced.
Okay.
And I'm not sure why.
Okay.
My whole point
to that was going to be, but that backfired on me. You might pay more upfront for something that's going to have
I will say one thing. The HOA fees are higher than, you know, other properties.
Sure.
But
worth it again.
If you think about like yourself, when you go on vacation, you want to go to the pool. You don't have to get in the car and drive to the beach.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Or skim the pool yourself.
Exactly.
Any more STRs in your future? Any more short-term rentals?
I mean, that was the 5-year plan. I think it's probably going to be more like a 10-year plan now.
Yeah.
Just because I never really got into this for the money. You know, this isn't like a, an income producing thing for me. It's more of like a real estate asset. So I would like to have another one, but it's also not something that I'm pushing for right now.
Sure. It's a real estate asset, but it sounds like also you want to be able to kind of go somewhere other than where you're at and get away for it pay for itself.
Exactly. It's the best of both worlds. I have a Caribbean vacation waiting for me whenever
you want.
That sounds nice.
I'm asking this because this is my husband's argument. Because we invest in real estate locally, but I thought it'd be cool to have something where we can go visit. But his argument is like, well, when I leave town, I want to go to different places.
I mean, I still travel other places than the Caribbean, but it's nice because, you know, it's when you go there, it's a vacation, but it's also, you have a sense of
home.
You know, I mean, I have people that I know there. I know the places that I like to go, people know me, you know, it's just like, it's, you have friends and that's, I don't know. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Well, I love when people always say like there's travel and then there's vacation because travel, like it's work and there's unknowns. And sometimes it's like really nice to have that one steady place that truly feels like vacation. Like, you know, exactly where you're going to stay, you know, exactly where you're going to eat and everything isn't brand new.
Right.
That can be fun, but that can also get exhausting if you're truly trying to go somewhere and unwind. You don't want the unknowns. You want everything to kind of be easy and taken care of.
And it kind of, at least me, it frees me up. It's like, you know, if you go to a new destination every time and you have to get the hotel rooms and everything, it makes a vacation that happens maybe every couple years where I can do it a couple times a year.
Because
I don't have to worry about, you know, $2,000 hotel bill and eating at the resort every meal that adds another couple $1,000 for the trip, you know?
Sure. Like, right.
You know.
Plus, like you said, it's an asset for you and why not hang out there?
Yeah.
And I mean, and I love the community there and I love the neighbors there and I love the people of the island there. So it's...
When you do go on vacation though, do you set aside a day to like do a walkthrough of the property, go to Lowe's or Home Depot.
Yeah. I actually checked in
with Mindy and like, you know, go through like a day of work, I guess.
It's definitely more than a day.
Okay. All right. Let's
I actually just got back a couple weeks from, I was down there a couple weeks ago and retiled the patio, put new handles in all the cabinets, like, you know, 6-7 trips to Home Depot. But every time I go down, I make it a point to add some kind of value to it. Like, nice. I do some kind of project every year.
Yeah.
Just to, you know,
freshen it up
and you know, you get the reviews. It's like, hey, you should probably pay a little attention to this, and then you can go down there and
pay attention to it. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's good. That's great. And that's good to know too. Like, you can vacation, but take care of the stuff that your guests, and not just be on your management company. You know, there's stuff that you need to take ownership of and make sure.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's my house. So it's, you know.
Well, look, if you, I mean, Larry and I were talking about this before we went live, I believe, but it's like, listen, and Nettie and I always talk about the whole, like, I live my whole life from the beach and it's great. And aren't you jealous? And it's like, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like after like 7 days on the beach with a cocktail, I might get a little bored. I want to do something like maybe cocktail on the side table while I'm doing it, but whatever. So you get something to do while you're down there.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely island fever is real.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you have to keep busy it's nice to have little projects to do. You don't feel like you're just wasting.
Let's share that, Larry. You got some advice when you first bought there.
I did. And
because I think we want to share this with our listeners so they know like that the laptop lifestyle or the not, you know, the retire early lifestyle might not be all that it's cracked up to be. What was that advice that you got? Probably at Ziggy's from someone.
It was actually at Duggan's, which is the
Duggan's.
Duggan's is the one of the restaurants at my condo complex.
And okay.
Frank, who's been there since the 70s. Great guy, interesting guy. He pulled me aside the night I closed on the condo, and he just said, I got two pieces of advice to you. He's like, keep your mouth shut. Basically just saying, you know, don't talk about people. it's a very small island. And two was, you know, find a hobby that doesn't involve alcohol. Because it's, you know, a lot of people have gone down there and, you know, same thing, like I'm going to live the beach life and, you know, happy hour at noon, and then they wash out pretty quickly. And,
yeah.
You know, it's got to do some else other than drink at the beach.
Right. Yeah. So I just didn't want anyone listening to be like, oh, you're on vacation, you're doing home projects. It's like, no, I think that's probably pretty darn good for your brain.
Yeah.
And for your, you know, pride in your property and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah. So. And like the people who live down there full time, they have like book clubs and they have, they play a golf, little 9 holes every Friday and have, you know, just you have to invent stuff.
Yes. Get out and do things.
Because the island is very, I mean, it's small.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I think it's like 40,000 people that are full-time residents there.
Wow.
And then on my side of the island, which is the east side, it's probably 1,500. So, I mean, if you go out.
Middle-sized high school.
It's a mid-sized high school. You'll see the exact same people every day.
Yeah.
So.
Well, just to give people like just example, like Columbus, Ohio. Listeners, you may not think of it as a giant metropolis, but it's a large secondary city. We have like 2 million people. 2 million. Mm-hmm. And there are 40,000?
Yeah.
That's small.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's.
And they're low, either you're centralized in two places, like Frederickstead or in Frederickstead. Where I live, where I have the place, it's out on the East End, so it's like a small town within a small town.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. It's, so it's a micro town.
Yeah.
Larry, anything else you want to share with our listeners who may also have been inspired by an HGTV show but have never pulled the trigger like you did? Like anything we haven't said that you kind of want to bring up about that?
I mean, if it's something that you are passionate about, at least go check it out. Like, it's not as hard as a lot of people might think it is. It's, I mean, if you really want to do it, you can put it together.
Make it happen.
Yeah.
Where can our listeners find your property?
I am listed on Airbnb.
Okay.
And hopefully we'll link.
We're going to link to that, listeners, in the show notes. And then we're going to drop Larry's email. He's been kind to share his personal email. If you have any questions, he's happy to share. But if you end up buying a property, he wants to come vacation for free with me and Sarah. So we're just going to drop that in there. But Larry, thanks for telling your story yet again. And listeners, we hope it was inspirational to you to just drool while you watch HGTV, but dial up that realtor.
You keep
watching.
Take action to what you want to do, Larry. That's my biggest takeaway is you think that like, you know, do people actually do that? Do they like get inspired and actually take action? Yes.
Yep.
I didn't even know that part of the story. So yeah.
And if you're a realtor, get your butt on an HGTV show. It might help you dream up some business.
Right.
All right, listeners. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant. And together we are.
Thanks for visiting. Talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products, from hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers. We've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us. It's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.